We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Monday, welcome into the CHGO Bears podcast presented by PointsBet. Use code CHGO to live your bet life and get up to $2,000 in free bets. What's up, everyone? Welcome in. It's a new week. It is officially the dead period of the NFL offseason. Woo! Look who's here?
Hi.
Two people. Well, one guy who's in studio a lot, but not necessarily with us. My good friend Jay Zawoski is here. Just watching the Blackhawk show, he was doing that. Yep. And a big guest with Liam McHugh. So if you did not check that out, you should check it out. Go back, find it, and listen to their podcast as well, the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. And Will DeWitt's in studio today.
Yes, I'm excited to be here. Obviously, I'm not here as much as I would like, but it's awesome to be in studio. And like you said, though, Adam, it's the dead period of the off season, so that's why you guys brought me in.
Well, it's I guess... If it is, then it's you can blame Nick because Nick probably planned his vacation that way, and he's gone all week. So you're here now.
I am here now, but I'm glad, like I said, to be here, and hopefully I can hear you throughout the episode. Been still dealing with some hearing issues in my left ear, and it's okay. I'm a pro. We got this.
That's why we put you on that side.
Exactly, exactly.
So you can still hear out of that ear. What's up, Jay?
I'm happy to be here. Getting the I had to wear the CHGO Blackhawks shirt today. Yeah. For the exposure, you know, because if we get like a tenth of your audience, we'd be very, very happy. So if one of every 10 of you can subscribe to CHGO Blackhawks, it'd be a great solid for us. Because we're also in the dead period. And we'll be there for the next 6 years or so. It's going to be rough.
It's okay. The Bears have been there for all 12 years.
That's a good point. But yeah.
It is football. I actually do, like, I have to catch myself complaining about some of these offseason shows because – like, it is still the NFL, and there's always something. You know, I was listening to a breakdown of the Deshaun Watson ordeal on my way down here, and it's like, yeah, there's always some drama in the NFL like that.
Yeah, I think you would trade this dead period to what the Browns are going through media-wise right now and having to rehash that every day.
Yeah.
Well, not that we're going to do a Browns show here, but Bill Simmons was claiming that could end up or might already be the worst trade in NFL history. And the argument wasn't that far off base. Like, if you really think about it, from every aspect, really, even the, oh, but he's a good quarterback. Well, he was. That might not play football for 2 years, though. Like, is he still going to be the same player? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the time off is one thing, and the human being element, too. Like, I mean, leave it to the Browns, though, to make a move like that.
That's unbelievable. Well, we're going to get some of Jay's thoughts on the Bears. He has some strong takes on some of the things that have happened over the last couple of weeks. You may have noticed in the headline of this episode that we are previewing the San Francisco 49ers. One of the things we're going to do over the next few weeks during this dead period is start to look ahead at the schedule and all of the Bears' opponents. So we're going to go through the schedule, and that starts week one against the San Francisco 49ers. So we'll do that today, and we're going to continue a couple series that we've been doing, looking at the roster, my grades from 2021. Today is a tight end that we've debated about on the show before. And
Jimmy Graham. Jesper Horsted.
Well, Jesper is a yes.
Your guy.
He's a Raider now.
You still broken up over that?
Yeah, absolutely. My heart's been broken for about, what, a month now?
Wait, he signed with the Raiders?
I'm fairly certain.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
The one touchdown he had, they must have been impressed because exactly. It was in Las Vegas.
They were playing that over and over again in the front office. Like, we need that guy. He became available. There he goes.
Wait, that should – no, he actually caught the touchdown, too, at the end of the Vikings game, didn't he? Last it was like season? That Hail Mary that didn't count. But
yeah. It's
did count.
It was a strange play.
It was a weird play. It was like an hour after the game when I realized that they actually counted that as a touchdown. Because it didn't matter.
They signed him on June 7th. So, about a week ago.
There you go. Hey, we wanted to take one moment off the top of the show, though, because a friend of ours, and we talked about a little bit about it last week when we were here in studio and kind of gave you guys a heads up that John Moon Mullen was battling through what we knew at the time was pretty much his final days of a very courageous battle against pancreatic cancer and got the very sad news yesterday on Father's Day, too, which sucked that that he did indeed pass away. And, you know, I've worked with him on the beat for many years. Jay, he used to be a frequent guest.
He's a friend. Yeah. Moon's a friend to everybody.
Yeah. So we just wanted to dedicate this show to Moon. Moon, I mentioned this last week. And Jay knows this from all the times he'd come on shows you were working on. He was so generous with his time, like always. And he would have been somebody that, without a doubt, had he been feeling better, and I'd be like, hey, Moon, want to come down in studio one day and just sit with us and hang out? He 100% would have done this. And that just kind of – because he's somebody we could have had definitely come down here on one of these shows during this sort of dead period of the NFL. In fact,
would have rode his bike.
Yeah, he would have taken his bike all the way down here.
Yep.
And I could tell you, because he actually did – remember 87-7 the game?
R.I.P. in peace.
He came down and did like a full show with us one day. Just out of the blue, like in some summer day, probably about this time of year.
He is just a phenomenal human being, and I was really broken up about it yesterday. When I got the news, I was at my parents' house, and my mom last fall had been going through cancer treatments. She had stage 2 breast cancer. She's over it. Everything's done. She's doing fine. But Moon got wind of that and regularly checked in with me about my mom, and I said, Moon, she's doing great. You know, like it just kind of shows you the guy he is. And I texted with Moon on Tuesday when I saw Dan Pompey's post of him in the hospital, not doing great. And I just said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you. Hope you're doing well, you know, rooting for you, sending all our love. And he said, I hope your mom is doing well. Like, that's the kind of guy he is and the kind of guy he was. And I was texting with Dan Pompey yesterday and I just told him, like, I'm really having a tough time with this. And he's like, Moon has... he has served, you know, like he's done enough, you know, and Dan said, I wish I had my phone, but Dan said very well, like, I'm sad that I won't get to see him anymore, but Moon has done so much for so many people that his work here is done. And that kind of put me at peace a little bit about it. And look, like, I know Moon from, like you said, working at the Score, talking to him as a guest when he'd come on. We talked for 5 minutes before the segment started. 2 minutes when he was done, and then at Bears camp we would talk, and that was pretty much it. But he just always stuck with me as a guy who was special, who was different, who took the time to get to know you, there was more to him than just being a football writer. And to have even the slightest connection with Moon Mullen for me is an honor. So I don't know, I just there are not enough kind words to say about Moon. So I could do an hour on him if you want me to, so we'll do a sideshow. Jay remembers Moon Mullen, but he is just the greatest guy in the world and positive till the end. If you don't know, he was making these cancer support videos for people on YouTube, were just positive messages, you know, encouragement, the things he's done to stay positive and stay healthy. It was just, he's just an unbelievable guy and a tremendous character, and truly, like, for a guy who didn't wear the uniform, a Bears legend.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, the series that he was doing on YouTube was called Attitude Over Cancer.
Yep.
Just, you know, taking something very, very negative and trying to spin it in a positive light to help other people, right? You know, just – and I encourage you to still find them. You know, that YouTube channel should live on. I mean, that's the great thing about him doing something like that. You know, the diagnosis he got, which was all the way back in December of 2019, we knew at the time it was not good.
Right.
And he was not supposed to live more than a year, and he blew that out of the water, more than doubled it. And then to take that experience over the last, because I think he started doing this about 7 or 8 months ago, started doing those videos, and to just, you know, talk about his experience and try to help others that may have been going through it too. His YouTube channel is just, I think it's just John Mullen, Attitude Over Cancer. I mentioned it last week and really encourage everyone to check it out. Or if you know somebody who's fighting cancer, send them the links, because that's what he would have wanted. That's exactly why he did those videos.
He offered, when I was telling him my mom was having a hard time kind of getting her head around, just feeling overwhelmed about the whole thing, I said, he volunteered to call you, and he'll talk with you as much as you want. My mom is very shy, very private person, but here's Moon Mullen saying, hey, I've never met your mom, or I don't know her name, but if you want me to pick up the phone and talk to her and encourage her, I'm happy to do it. It's just, you know, everyone's got a story like that about Moon, and everyone who was lucky enough to know him, he touched, and I don't know, it's just, I'm still quite broken up about it. Dan's words were a little bit like soothing, and I'm trying to stick with that, but it's been a tough 24 hours for sure.
Yeah, it absolutely has, and was tough to, you know, get that news, even though we kind of knew it was coming on Father's Day, I don't know. It's just been, going back to Jeff Dickerson too, it's just been a really tough, 6-7 months, whatever it's been. Really a couple of years for those two battling through what they were battling through as well. So, anyway, we are going to talk some Bears on the show. We're dedicating this show to Moon because we love him. And so let's jump in, guys. I know that off the top, Jay had some thoughts that he wanted to share, which is because he doesn't get a chance to be here every day to talk about it. What? First of all, wasn't Tyler Klutz like your guy?
He was my guy.
I don't know why I always associate Tyler Klutz with you.
I'm just a big fan of fullbacks, and so, it's a dying breed. And I thought that he was underappreciated by the Bears and went on to Dallas and did well. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's so many of the guys that people made fun of me for liking with the Bears went on elsewhere and did really well.
Okay. Brad Muster.
Greg Olsen was my other guy. A little bit different because Greg Olsen was really good on the Bears, but I thought it was a huge mistake to let him go. I was furious about that one, and it's my guy.
That was one of the worst trades in Bears history.
And I'm just going to go on record before we begin. I feel the same way about Cole Kmet. I saw every game Cole Kmet played in college. The dude is awesome. He's a fantastic tight end, and I hope this new coaching staff figures out how to unlock Cole Kmet, because at Notre Dame he was an absolute beast, an absolute game changer. He has everything you need to be a great NFL tight end, so hopefully the offense can figure out and get him the ball, because he's a complete weapon, and I would hate to see him go somewhere else and dominate.
Well, that's good, because there's gonna be more Cole Kmet talk
good
a little bit later in the show. do you remember who Tyler Klutz was traded for?
I don't. I was too angry.
Sherrick McManus.
All right, that was a decent. Well, McManus was good.
He was
good for a while.
Yeah, he was the longest tenure Bear, one of the best special teamers in the league. So I think that one worked out. But you should celebrate, because this new coaching staff, they have fullbacks.
Love it.
A fullback, Bakari Blazingame.
It's a terrific name.
Yeah.
By the way, and I am down for any fullbacks are just. I don't know. It's just why would you not just send an extra blocker through the hole? It's right there. You can send a tight end in motion. He's not going to block as well as a fullback. Nope. It
creates an extra gap.
Absolutely.
No defense to account for.
I was a offensive lineman, and I was always wanted to be a fullback, but I was a little too slow, a little too fat to be a fullback, quite frankly. But that was my dream, was just I get a running start on a linebacker instead of him getting a running start at me. Absolutely. That sounds amazing. So I've always had an affinity for the fullbacks, you know, Mike Alstott and Tom Rathman and all those great guys wearing number 40-something.
Brad Muster.
Brad Muster was fantastic.
Yeah, these guys.
I was a big
Brad
Muster fan. Matt Sui, of course, leading the way for Walter Payton.
Yep.
I don't know if Walter needed Matt Sui, but it certainly didn't hurt. But But, I've always been a big fan of the fullbacks. And, yes, Tyler Klutz was one of my guys. Somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but he was better than he got credit for being.
Well, other than Michael Burton, though, I don't because Klutz would have been after Jason McKee.
Yep.
And
there haven't really been any fullbacks dying. Proper.
They're dying.
Yeah.
Well, not literally. They're dying as a position in football.
Yeah, it's more of an H-back time.
Yeah, it's a little different new terminology. Hybrid role. And it's
Will, what do you think about Will, what do you think about fullbacks?
What do I think about the fullback?
Yeah,
the NFL just changes. But what, you know, is old will be new again, and I expect them to come back. I mean, the Bears brought in a fullback, so obviously they still have value. And, Jay, it's your lucky day because we're talking about the 49ers, who have perhaps the best fullback in the entire league, too. And Kyle Juszczyk? I always struggle with that name.
Kyle Juszczyk,
Juszczyk? There's all those J's.
No, Juszczyk. I don't have to check. Juszczyk.
It's one of those names that is not pronounced at all like it
That's
looks.
That's what I'm saying. I've like, only heard it a couple of times.
Those letters do not belong there. Why are they there?
Unnecessary.
It's like
Juszczyk.
Yeah.
Juszczyk.
As a Polish person, I can confirm. Okay. Use check.
And a fullback.
All right, am I supposed to get my other hot takes out right
yeah,
now?
Yeah,
too?
let's fire away.
All right, the losing the practice for being too physical, awesome.
Thank you.
Love it. The football meatball in me, the former lineman in me is like, hell yes, let's get after it, let's hit, let's get physical. Every player on that team wants that. They want to be physical. They want to play football. That's why they're football players. They knew, hey, maybe we lose a practice, maybe we get busted, whatever. Let's hit it. Let's get going. And I love that. I love that they did that. Totally meatball-y of me. And then the Braxton Jones thing, which I've been following. The concept of he couldn't possibly start because he was drafted in the fifth round is ridiculous. If the person is performing better than the other person, that person should be the one with the job. It is very, very simple. Draft status should not play a role, and I think that was a big problem of the past regime is, like, well, you've got to play this guy. We took him in the early rounds. No, screw that. He's not playing as well as other players play. And I've always believed that the best player should play regardless of draft status, and if Braxton Jones is the best option at left tackle, he should be the day one starter at left tackle. I don't get why this is a complicated or a question.
Oh, I think it's just more of it's hard to really know what he looks like yet because none of us has seen him in pads.
Sure.
You know, at the end
of course,
I totally agree with everything you're saying. I think it's just sort of been a surprise because it's almost like, what are they even basing it on so far, mm-hmm. right? Because they haven't seen anyone hit. Well, and I think people are worried that it actually is more of a problem for Tevin Jenkins than like there's this great rookie in Braxton Jones.
Sure. I will say, so Tevin Jenkins got off to an inauspicious start in his Bears career with the injuries and everything. But he's the kind of guy who, when he gets on the field, is a different guy. He plays with an edge. He's physical. And those are the sort of things you can't show in shells and shorts or in T-shirts and shorts, whatever. Like, he is a guy who is a mauler. And that part of his game is not going to show until until between kickoff and final whistle. He's a guy who's going to show it in game more than he's going to show it in practice. So if Tevin Jenkins is the best left tackle, he should play. I'm just saying whoever it is, regardless of draft status, I'm not saying Braxton Jones should be the guy, but if he comes out and is better than Tevin Jenkins, absolutely, that's the guy. And then you figure out right tackle, and whoever's better, Borum or Jenkins, gets that job. I liked what I saw from Jenkins last year. I liked that he stuck up for his quarterback. Yes, he took a penalty, but I think in the long term, like, those things kind of do matter.
Yep.
And the other teams get a message like, okay, well, if we take a hit on Justin Fields, we're going to have to answer for it. And I know maybe this is a hockey meatball in me, but, I just think that Jenkins will get to show really what he's going to look like next season in the preseason when you get to see him up against actual competition at full speed in a game, because I think that's really where you get a true indication of a player like that's true performance level, I guess you would say.
It's a big Braxton Jones day here at CHGO. He let off the weekly newsletter
that
went out this morning, which is something you should be signed up for at allchgo.com. Featured in my Bears Things column, which went up yesterday and is you can check out this morning too, because I agree. I think he's a great story so far.
Mm-hmm.
I was struggling to think of a fifth round offensive lineman that like has ever been thrown with the starters by June before the pads even go on. You know, Jordan Morgan was a fifth round pick the same year the Bears drafted Kyle Long, and they were kind of both put in with mm-hmm. the ones in the yep. middle of training camp, like I think after the first or second preseason game. It's rare to see that happen yep. in June before the pads even go on. So he's got to be doing something right.
Could part of it be, too, trying to light a fire under Jenkins? Because I feel yep. like yep. you guys would know this better than me. He seems like a different dude off the field. Like kind of soft-spoken, maybe a little bit shy, not the most aggressive guy, but you know, anyone who's ever played before knows that people have that switch, you know, and that's how I am. Like I'm very docile. Is that the word, Lawrence?
Yeah, and then you start that podcast and you're just yelling at me the whole time.
Well, but I'm just, you know, but once it is time to compete, people can find that next level and they can find what Doug Buffone called the Neanderthal gene. And you could turn that thing on it. And I think Jenkins is a guy like that. Because he looks like he's wearing the glasses and he's got all these pictures with his wife and all these things and it's great. And he's seems like a real low-key dude. And then, oh, the game starts and he's pushing people around and shoving people and he's a different guy.
Well, I hope that's the case. To be honest, we barely know him.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't really have access last year and he wasn't around until there were six games left in the season to begin with. So, We'll have to see more of that. I feel like if things were going great, then he wouldn't have been dropped from the first to the second team as early as he has. But that's what training camp's for, and we will continue to break all that down, just like we're about to do with the San Francisco 49ers to kick off our schedule preview. But first, I want to tell you that the best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app. Use code CHGO when you sign up, and if you do that right now, you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. And that's not it, because if you make a $50 more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. Like, could be Jay's Blackhawk shirt. You can't buy your Hawaiian shirt.
No, you cannot.
It is Hawaiian
Well, you can
shirt.
Buy it, just not at
well,
CHGO.
Well, yeah, you can't buy it at the locker.
I don't know. I got it at Target like 3 years ago, I think.
Oh, it's more works. Of a Hawaiian shirt than the one they gave out the White Sox game last week.
The ugly bowling shirt?
The bowling shirt.
Man, you're still talking about that. That's like 9 days ago.
Yeah.
Get over it. It's a freebie at a Sox game. Come on.
But it was a bowling shirt. It wasn't a Hawaiian shirt. You can't just put one flower on it being like Hawaii.
If it was a Hawaiian shirt, how often are you wearing a White Sox Hawaiian shirt? Let's be honest. It's probably as ill-fitting.
I do have a couple in my closet, and they don't get worn.
Yeah. I have a
Papa Hogue wears them, though.
I have a real Hawaiian shirt that I bought in Hawaii, and this was back in, like, 2013. I brought it on this trip I just went to Hawaii.
That's, the second time you wore it?
I didn't even wear
when
it.
When you went back to Hawaii?
No, I didn't even wear it, so it's just still
unworn. Isn't any shirt bought in Hawaii technically a Hawaiian shirt?
True.
Ooh. All right. That's probably
another sideshow.
Back to PointsBet.
$2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free T-shirt from the CHGO locker. When you make that first-time deposit at PointsBet, email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and you know we'll respond with our Hawaiian shirt takes for you. Your home for live in-play betting just got even better, because if you see an edge in the game you're watching, PointsBet's the place for you. Is your favorite team primed for a comeback? Don't just watch the game. Bet along with live in-play betting with PointsBet, because consumers say it has been the fastest with their live bets. Download the PointsBet app right now. Use promo code CHGO. And once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
Did they change that? It used to be the 1-800-522-4700.
Yeah, they did.
I was good at that.
And you told us Friday that you were going to have this cleaned up by Monday, and that didn't happen.
Wait, I...
Boss toss.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
clean up the ad copy?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll work on that.
For tomorrow?
Yeah. For tomorrow.
How'd it go during the Hawk show? Didn't you have to read that during that?
Oh, I was butchering stuff all day.
Yeah, it's...
I was not, again, not Lawrence's fault at all. As one who has been bus tossed many, many times over the last 20 years of my life, I will never bus toss a producer. So no, it was me. I was, the close of the show today was absolute chaos.
Yeah,
I gave Lawrence like roughly 17 out cues.
Yeah. And I,
I went with the old Ed Farmer goodbye.
Oh yeah.
And I went with the 16th. So we ended up cutting off something.
Thanks for joining us. On the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
The only reason I brought that up again was because we were talking about it on the show as part of a bit as I struggled through that read Friday, so we were just following up.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, and
it's not like it was a conversation after the show.
No, yeah.
I still probably bus toss you, though.
This talent, man. This ego. Egos are out of control. That's what it is, Lawrence.
Wild.
Especially me.
Wild stuff. Well, he lives that boat life. You know, we saw him
everybody says about
sitting
Hogan
outside last week by a boat.
Yeah.
Am I clear to the talk about our next sponsor?
No.
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Go for it.
I was going to say, as long as you can hear us.
Come on. All right. So I have to tell everyone here about Athletic Greens. You know, I started taking AG1 because, well, A, I don't like taking a bunch of pills. I want some better gut health, especially right now. I'm taking two antibiotics. So I need all those probiotics that I can get in my body right now. Of course, you know, having more energy is great. Optimizing the immune system. Again, there's just so many great benefits of AG1. So, like, really, what is this stuff? It's with one delicious scoop of AG1, you are absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, which, again, very important to me right now, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. Honestly, all of the things. I kind of incorporate AG1 in my life. I don't do it every day. I'm bad. I don't do it with my vitamins either. I'm really bad at doing things every single day, but it tastes great, and I try to remember as much as I possibly can. One thing about it, I just want to make sure everyone knows that it is lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. You can take
paleo.
AG1. Paleo?
It's paleo.
Paleo?
Yeah.
Paleo?
You know, you're a paleontologist.
Paleontologist? You eat certain things?
Paleo, yeah.
I'm just learning so many things
today.
I love it. And then I just want to let everyone know right now it's time to reclaim your health and your arm, your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. They make it easy. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Bears. And again, that's all you need to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Bears, and then you can take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance, AG1.
Good stuff. You know, I like that, you know, Will in studio gets to do some ad reads now.
Yeah. Put him to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, I broke a sweat. I need some water.
Okay.
Then we can talk 49ers.
Yeah. All right. Week one.
Win.
Win. Week two.
Win. is this what you brought me in for?
Yeah.
To derail the show.
No.
Way to go, Hogue. I told you.
We need some optimism. Apparently been too negative. All right.
Of course. Always.
Wow. That's nice job with the graphic, though.
Hey.
I'm not just trying to suck up to you now after I bus toss you.
Has nothing to do with me, though. Again, Jay, this one's a Joey special there.
Okay.
Yeah. Joey, anything that looks good, that's Joey.
Joey's the goat, man.
Yeah.
That was excellent. Okay, so week one, it is Bears, 49ers. And the 49ers have had, kind of a quiet offseason, I'd probably say, even though they're certainly one of the teams that everyone's trying to figure out, what are they going to do with their quarterback? But I think most people all assume that Trey Lance is going to be their quarterback and that they've just been trying to figure out some type of solution to get something for Jimmy Garoppolo, even though there doesn't seem to be much of a market for him. I could think of one team that maybe should have gone that route over what they did, like the Cleveland Browns. Would have been a little cheaper.
A little bit.
With a little less drama. Although, I guess at that point, you should probably just keep Baker Mayfield. But all right, well, let's talk about these 49ers a little bit and see what the Bears can come up with a win. If you look back at last season, the 49ers went 10-7, and that gave them the sixth seed in the playoffs. But they went on to the NFC Championship game before losing to the Rams. They had that big win at Lambeau Field with Robbie Gould kicking the walk-off against the Packers and rubbing it in with the little Packer comment. That was awesome. And since then, the 49ers, with some cap problems because of that Jimmy Garoppolo contract that's still on there, they had some key losses. Arden Key went off to the
That's definitely a key loss.
It was a key. Boom, I see what you did there. See what you did. That is a key loss. He went on to the Jacksonville Jaguars, got paid there. DJ Jones went to the Broncos. They also lost Raheem Mostert, who's been a big part of their running game. And then Lincoln Tomlinson, who's from right down the street, I believe. I think he was the Lane Tech.
I think that's correct.
Yeah. He was also out of there. And then they did sign. Their big signing was Charvarius Ward at corner and then Hassan Ridgeway. I mean, I don't know that any of these losses or additions are really, you know, going to result in a huge swing for the 49ers this year in terms of how many games they win. But I think that ultimately will come down to what they get out of Trey Lance.
Yes. So I believe that, you know, Charvarius Ward will help this team. I know the secondary was kind of the Achilles heel of the 49ers last year. They signed him to a three-year, $40 million deal. And last year, he was one of the best corners in the entire league. He was ninth in the NFL with 11 pass breakups. He had the fifth best reception against him, only allowing 51% of all of his targets to be completions. He also had two interceptions a year ago. They brought him in to kind of be that lockdown guy that they were missing and allowing some of their other corners to maybe move someone inside that was playing out because their nickel spot was a sore spot again last year. But you keep mentioning Trey Lance, and I just want to put it out there that if I can put money on it, he's the week one starter, at least with all the podcasts I listened on the way up my four-hour drive this morning. That kind of seems to be where they're thinking right now in the Bay Area. And what I've heard coming out of OTAs is that the ball is coming out of his hands a little bit better than a year ago. I didn't know he had that hairline fracture in his index finger on his throwing hand, which was kind of messing with his throwing. He had to learn how he, like, relearned to release the ball in a different way just because of it, and receivers struggled with it. But it's kind of back to normal, and I keep hearing good things about him from his teammates, his coaching staff. So they just keep talking him up so much. To me, it has to be Trey. Which, again, Justin versus Trey, huge week one talking point for us to kind of, you know, break down and preview between now and then.
I just don't understand why they don't just come out and say it. Like, that he's a starter. They haven't declared him the starter. They haven't named him the starter. I understand it's a tricky scenario with having a veteran still there in Jimmy Garoppolo, who they probably feel like has been a great teammate forever and all, you know, all these good things. But, you know, some of it sort of reminds me of the Bears with their silliness last year, with just like they get so worried about talking a rookie up too much that they're just overthinking it, in my opinion.
Right.
You know,
maybe
everyone
Jimmy
knows.
D soft.
We knew you liked Trey Lance when you traded up to get him. Like, it doesn't need to be some secret that saying we like him, he's going to be our start. No, well, no kidding. Like, you spent all that draft capital to go get him. I don't understand why it's got to be that tricky. And I still like him. Like, I like Trey Lance coming out a lot. But when you start thinking about how the guy's played almost no football in 2 years, you do wonder, week one, Soldier Field, he's getting a start. Like, what is that going to look like for a guy who played one game his last year at North Dakota State because they didn't have a season and they basically created this exhibition game for him, and then last year had very limited playing time in San Francisco? Like, you can talk yourself into the idea that he could struggle right away, and the Bears could be in position to steal a win in week one.
Well, I mean, Coach Eberflus, defensive coordinator Alan Williams, that's going to be, like, their number one priority on defense is find ways to make it complex and complicated for Trey Lance. Hopefully Soldier Field shows out. It's a tough road environment as well. And what I like about this, it's kind of like a case study between two different rookie quarterbacks that went in different paths, right? You had someone who sat and learned behind Jimmy Garoppolo. Then you had someone that kind of got thrust into the fire right away. And we'll see exactly what those results lead to. It's just a little different for the Bears because Justin is learning a new offense for the second straight year. He's not been in the same system for 2 years to kind of see what that growth can be. But I still believe playing in the NFL, having that game experience, is going to help Justin. And hopefully the case study does point over to, you know, the Bears in their favor here come week one.
I think if you're a 49ers fan, you want Trey Lance to be your starter from week one. I also think if you're a Bears fan, you want Trey Lance to be the starter week one.
Yep.
Because you get an opportunity at home to take advantage of all those, the rust of playing in a full speed game. Because even preseason is not full speed most of the time. And the first start jitters, all those sort of things. It could be a ripe opportunity for the Bears to take a win from a team that they probably otherwise later in the season would have no business competing with. A team that went to the NFC Championship. That's really the Niners remind me of the Cutler Bears a little bit, where they've got all the pieces but the quarterback to get them over the top, and maybe a little bit of a step back this year. But like, I don't know, Garoppolo is just good enough to get you there, but not good enough to get you over the hump. So Trey Lance is their future. They know that. Why not just start at week one? So by the time you're ready for, you know, midseason, when the game, they all matter, of course, there's only so many of them, but you want to get him ramped up so he's at peak potential for when they are competing for or in a playoff spot. I think starting Garoppolo for them would be a mistake. You know, maybe you get an extra win, but I think they are foolish to not just say, here are the keys, take the car, and let's go. Because he's the kind of guy, he's the kind of quarterback, or they think he's the kind of quarterback that can change a game on his own. That's why you trade up to get Trey Lance and do it. Like you said, Adam, you make the aggressive move to trade up. Don't be afraid now to use it. It kind of goes back to my thing about Braxton Jones. Like, just if he's better, play him. Right. Play the better player.
It almost makes you wonder if, you know, that he's not ready,
right?
Which is a concern if you're a year in.
That would be a concern.
You know, like, yes. are they worried that, to your point, Jay, they have this great team, but if Trey Lance isn't ready to take off, are they going to need Jimmy Garoppolo just to kind of fight through the season? They made it all the way to the NFC Championship last year. They played in a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo.
But then how do you – then where – so if that's what you do, right, and let's say the 49ers look like they did last year, then when do you pull the plug? Do you just not and you just stick with Garoppolo and then fall short again? Because then you got to bring Lance in midseason, and then you've got to – they're two totally different quarterbacks and what they bring. So you can't just, like, plug one in. You know what I mean? It's you totally change your game plan. So I think whatever it is should be the plan. And if Lance isn't ready, then fine. Go with Jimmy G and see what happens. But if you have any sort of question at all, like, well, we think Trey might be ready, he's ready. Do it. Right. Try that. And then you can always go back to Jimmy if it doesn't work out.
Adam, if the Bears defense did what it did last year, it doesn't really matter. Trey Lance could have a field day. Do you remember the big issue last year in that game?
I remember their head coach had COVID, and the Bears head coach, and Chris Tabor was the coach in that game. And then I remember Justin Fields running 700 yards in circles and finally in the end zone on what was probably the most exciting play of the season.
So just because their head coach had COVID, it doesn't excuse, they had no pass rush. They didn't touch Jimmy G one time, not a single quarterback hit.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember sack. That now.
Yep. He's very mobile.
Yeah. And,
just like me.
What I was able to find, because you can't watch NFL Game Pass anymore right now, at least on YouTube, there's like three or four of those highlight plays where I can count to seven when Jimmy's just standing there in the pocket with the football. Like, if that happens, even if it's Trey Lance, like, bad things are going to happen. But hopefully the Bears can find a little bit of pass rush week one with a, I'll call him a, you know, a second-year rookie quarterback in Trey Lance.
Let's take a look at what PointsBet thinks about the 49ers going into this season. PointsBet has them at plus 1,600 to win the Super Bowl, which are the eighth best odds. And then they are plus 750 to win the NFC, which puts them fourth. And then to win the West, they're second at plus 190. Of course, the Rams are ahead of them in all three of those categories. The over-under, though, because I thought this was pretty telling. I mean, their over-under is 10.5 wins. That is a lot higher than the Bears' 6.5, which is probably why they're I think they're favored by 6.5, the early line against the Bears in that game. That is one thing I feel strongly about. I mean, we got a lot of comments here from Bears fans saying, oh, the Bears can win this game. I think they have a chance. The one thing I love right away, and I think I said this when the schedule came out, I don't think the 49ers should be 6.5 points better than the Bears at this point with a quarterback.
Would that tell you think that they're that points bad and other sites like that believe that Garoppolo will be the starter? Because I think if Garoppolo is the starter, I could convince myself that the Bears lose by a touchdown.
Well, let me ask you
that
this.
That does not seem far-fetched.
Of those three quarterbacks we're talking about, which one would you want going into the game?
As a Niners fan?
Just in general, if as a Bears fan.
So I have my pick of Fields,
Garoppolo or Trey Lance. Which quarterback gives you the best chance to win that game?
God. If we're playing on like a neutral offense, like Team X.
Yeah. I'm just saying like Fields might be the guy you want.
I think you're right. I was going to say that.
I guess that's my point to say like they're like last year when the Bears went to LA on Sunday Night Football against a really good Rams team with all those stars. Now they have Matthew Stafford. It's like, okay, I understand why they're 6.5 point dogs. Like this makes sense. I think the 49ers are the better team. Don't get me wrong on that. But this game is being played at Soldier Field. It could be a quarterback making, I don't want to say his first start because he did have a couple last year. But, you know, really his first start taking over the 49ers.
Yes.
And I don't know that he's the best quarterback on the field in that situation. So is that really you're putting your money with? Like I'm taking the Bears 6.5 then in that point. Just in that conversation, looking at it that way.
That's fair.
Especially because they're going to be staring at a new defense, too.
But you can't look at it like a neutral offense because the 49ers' offense is so much better than the Bears' offense.
That's true.
And they've got so many more weapons. So it's if Justin Fields is quarterbacking the 49ers, hell yes. Give me the 6.5, right?
Well, but that's another thing we should bring up then is the whole Deebo Samuel situation.
Exactly, yep. Yeah.
Because what's that going to look like? I mean, I do. Trust me, I usually side with the players in these things, but I do have a little bit of respect for how the 49ers have handled this because the wide receivers have kind of just taken over control over, no, I want to go here, I'm demanding this trade, blah, blah, blah. And I do think there has to be a little bit of give and take, and the 49ers have a guy in Deebo who kind of reacted to everything going around the league, and they're like, no, we're not trading you, sorry.
Yeah, no.
You're our best weapon, and that's not happening, so.
So I know he did at least show up to their minicamp, so unlike some of the other receivers that are holding out, he is someone that at least showed up and was available.
He's doing like the holding in thing.
Yeah, like he's still being around, which I says, you know, to me says something. Again, they may just be, I mean, with their cap situation, like you said, like maybe they have to unload Jimmy G in order to get Deebo exactly where they want him. And I know Ian Rappaport the other week was on the Pat McAfee show pretty much saying like he believes that with some of the moves the 49ers made, drafting a running back in the third round, like, hey, we're not going to run you between the tackles as much as we did in the past because I know he doesn't want to kind of absorb that contact. And for the 49ers, that would be smart to kind of lengthen his shelf life a bit by if you're going to give him the football as a runner, cool. But, you know, maybe it's more in a gadget role than someone that's in between the tackles type of runner. But Deebo, I would expect to stay there for sure. It's just a matter of can they come to terms and do they have the money to even do that.
All right, I'll put you on the spot, starting with you, Will. Bears win. Bears cover.
Ooh. I'm still going Bears win. I did that during the schedule show for us, and I'm going to stick with it. I believe it will be Trey, and I think the inexperience in week one and with what Coach Eberflus and defensive coordinator Alan Williams will be able to do in terms of finding ways to make it confusing, complicated, and a little chaotic for Trey will be just enough to get us over the top.
Jay?
I agree. I think they win. I do think it will be Trey Lance, and I think those first game jitters – will play a role, and I do think the Bears get the win.
Wow. All right, I'm going to take the 49ers to win the game, but I do think the Bears cover. I think that's going to be something we see a lot this season. Like, I think the Bears are going to be in a lot of football games, play a lot of teams tough, and then not win them all. Come on, you think Robbie Gould's going to come back to Soldier Field and miss that clutch kick he's going to have in the fourth quarter? Come on.
He'll be kicking warm-up kicks with the drum line walking past him. just all cocky and everything.
Good old Robbie.
I hope he keeps that up, actually, Soldier Field. I love that. That whole routine he had in the playoffs where he's, like, purposely trying to get in the way.
The only way I can see the Bears losing, though, is if the two-headed monster in the defensive line just takes over Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead. Because Bosa, yeah. I don't know who's playing tackle on either side for the Bears right now. So, and he had 21 sacks and 88 pressures in the 20 games they played last season. And at this time a year ago, he was just rehabbing his knee. Like, he wasn't able to put in a typical offseason. And this dude's going through a typical offseason right now, working on his game. Like, that's scary to me. And Armstead's a beast, too, going up against the Bears' right guard, whoever that's going to be.
Won't be an issue. They have a fullback.
Hey, Bears. I love it, Jay. I love it.
Bears.
Fullback. 49ers have the best fullback in the league. Oh, yeah, that's right. If you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us continue to grow is to download the PointsBet app. Use code CHGO when you sign up. Not only are you going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. Any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we will help you out. And in case you missed it, online sign-up is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now, register your account from start to finish, all from your phone, and you can bet on those the bets we just had up there with the 49ers. You have a weird smile on your face
I'm
right now.
I'm just wondering if you're distracted by the new full screen.
I was going to say, you're just proud of what's on the screen or what?
I'm just wondering.
Okay. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with Points Bet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, we got a couple players to fly through towards the end of this podcast. We appreciate Jay Zawoski being here with us. And pulling double duty with the Blackhawk show already in the books.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Subscribe. CHGO Blackhawks, please.
Okay. My grade, the player for today, which Jay brought up earlier. I'm glad you're here today.
All right.
That was just a coincidence. Is Cole Kmet, the Bears tight end, who I was actually surprised this grade came in as low as it did because I have talked up Cole Kmet quite a bit, too.
Do we have to discuss H-War for Jay, who is not
this? Well, he Lawrence dubs it H-War, my grading system.
Yeah, we don't. But it's just, it's a, I don't understand it.
But I've heard it.
You'll understand it by the end.
I'm up on it.
Okay.
Once you see Roquan Smith up above 5, it'll start to make more sense to you. We'll get there, everybody. But that's why we put in parentheses what the number means. Anything between 1 and 2 is a fringe starter. Obviously, if you're closer to a 2, that gets you closer to starter status. That's why I was a little surprised Cole Kmet is as low as he was here because I still consider him to be a starter. I'd say he's probably played as like a low-end starter at this point because you know it's hard to be too complimentary about a guy who's only has one touchdown in 2 seasons. That being said, we also understand anybody who's watched these games that the way they were in love with Jimmy Graham and using Jimmy Graham in the red zone and give you know Cole Kmet would get him all the way down into the red zone and then be like, okay, let's sort of Jimmy now. You know, it should help Cole Kmet that Jimmy Graham is not here. But regardless, this is a big third season for Cole Kmet. We see a lot of tight ends in the history of the league, especially recent history. It takes a couple of years to adapt to the game, find the right way for them to be used, learn how to block the right way at the NFL level. And a lot of them break out in year 3. And I think that with Jimmy Graham out of the way, with this new offense, it is go time for Cole Kmet. Kind of a make or break year for him at this point.
I'm glad you're coming around a little bit. We've had this conversation a couple months ago about where we should be standing with Cole Kmet. And I was a little surprised when I saw that in our notes here this morning, too, that, like, you're taking those scores or the lack of into some consideration.
Well, remember, that grade is 2021 results.
Correct.
Right? And I think a lot of the positive things that I have said about Cole Kmet and Jay has here today is kind of more about what we think he could still be. So, you know, I still expected his production to be a little bit high because one of the points I made when we discussed Cole Kmet earlier, you know, this was probably over a month ago at this point, was just that, you know, his production last year was still in line close to where Kyle Rudolph's production was as in his second year. And that's always been my comp for Cole Kmet is Kyle Rudolph. We're not talking Travis Kelce. We're not talking about, you know, one of the top tight ends in the league. We're just talking about a really, really good pro that can help your team a lot. And I still feel Cole Kmet will be that player.
Do you weigh turnovers into your grade?
Like
fumbles and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's negative. Had trouble holding onto the ball.
Yeah.
And I
guarantee you that's one of the things that brought that number
yeah,
down.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I cannot deny I'm a Notre Dame fanboy. I'm a meatball, all those sort of things. And I was thrilled when the Bears drafted Cole Kmet. That said, there's a lot of Notre Dame players I would have been pissed if the Bears drafted. So I call it as I see it because I know who's good and bad in Notre Dame. And when Kyle Rudolph is such a great comp. And you mentioned he's not going to be up that upper echelon of players. But if Kyle Rudolph had not been injured for so much of his career, he may have been in that upper echelon of tight ends. He could have been in that conversation. Another Notre Dame guy, obviously. That's where I see Kmet going. If he can stay healthy and if he can minimize the turnovers, and now, like you said, with Jimmy Graham out of his way, he's going to be option one in the red zone, and I've seen him there. He can catch the damn ball in the red zone. There's no difference between a college catch and a pro catch. You know, it's coming from a better quarterback than he ever had at Notre Dame, so I think this is the year that Cole Kmet takes a huge jump.
Now, he did lead the team in red zone targets last year with 13. Graham only had 9. So I'm just saying Graham had
but
all
I think
those.
Part of the frustration is, like, most people probably feel like those 9 should have gone to Cole Kmet, too.
I get it.
But yeah, so 13 targets and no touchdowns.
Right, he led the team with 13, which was 20% of all the red zone targets and 0 scores. And, again, that's what he needs to improve on this upcoming year. And I do believe having a new offensive scheme, a better play caller, when he gets inside the 20, it's going to be super important and will help him, maybe get over that hump a bit.
Yeah, I think it's a great point with the ball security, and it's like I always talk about those catches that Jesper Horsted made. Like those are the catches you want Cole Kmet to make.
Yep.
You know, he needs to make those tougher plays, those 50-50 balls. And the thing about him sometimes fumbling is it's a result of him actually refusing to go down. I love how his first instinct when he catches the ball is to pick up extra yards.
Yes.
He is a tough-minded tight end in that regard, but there's also times where it's like, all right, just go down, the play's over. Because I'm thinking 2 years ago, I think, against the Saints where he was trying to do that.
Yep.
And he coughed off the ball in a big moment. So I think we're all high on Cole Kmet still as a player with the limitation, but the reality is, and I agree with some of the comments that have come in too, you know, Martin said Cole Kmet managing to get 600 receiving yards in a Matt Nagy offense isn't cheap. I mean, that's where I go, even despite some of the things that have brought that grade down, because remember, it's a lot more than just production. It's about the negative plays, the drops. There's been some blocking issues in there too. He could still get better as a blocker. You got to factor in the whole picture. That's what goes into that number being where it is. But I personally will be shocked if that number is not a lot higher.
I hope so. Yeah. I really hope so, Adam. It'd be huge for him, big for the Bears. Even though Ryan Poles didn't draft Cole Kmet, it's so important to build your team through the draft. And he was the Bears' first draft choice of that, you know, that draft because they didn't have a first-round pick that year. Gosh, you just hope it clicks and he can stay here for some time. I see Nick down there.
Yeah, go away, Nick.
He's on vacation. See, he didn't see me there on vacation.
What do we think Nick is doing right now in Punta Cana?
Bear down from Punta Cana, he says, for those listening to the podcast with the smiley emoji, sunglass emoji. No offense to anybody here. If I was in Punta Cana right now, I would not be watching this show.
No, nor should you be.
Well, that's rude.
Did you watch us when you were in Hawaii?
I did. I actually was.
Why?
I was close to just jumping on one of the little e-cam links and just calling you guys up.
We were still at 11 a.m. when you were in Hawaii, too.
It was the Big Dave show.
Which would have been 6
in the morning. And so my daughter would have been up because she didn't. The time change didn't affect her at all. She was up early. But I was gonna call. It would have been like 6:45, end of that show. I was going to surprise you guys. And then I just didn't do it. Yeah, but I was awake.
Did you watch us?
No.
Okay.
I enjoyed my time.
Thank you.
Yeah, vacation's vacation.
Yeah, no, that's a mental break that is needed for everybody. You need that personal space, and again, time with the family is great. And I know you guys were at like 8 in the morning ish our time. Like I got the pings, and I was like, "Have a great show," and put the phone back in the pocket.
I will actually turn all the notifications off of my phone when I'm on vacation.
Good for you.
Don't want to Don't want to. I don't put it away because we still now live in a society where we kind of need our phones on vacation because there's still our cameras and GPS. Things like that. But, yeah.
Okay. One more thing about Komet. I see a lot of people in the comments kind of saying underachiever, didn't get enough done. Allen Robinson had one touchdown last year, too, and just was not used by this offense. The offensive team, coaching-wise, completely lost their damn fool minds last year. Just nonsensical play calls, nonsensical strategies, not using the weapons they had. And I know I think Allen Robinson was probably playing at about 80% intensity. He would not have a good hit score. But still, I just think, like, there are guys that are clearly proven NFL weapons that had no production last year. Jimmy Graham is kind of another one, too, by the way. There was a lot wrong with that offense last year. So to hold Cole Kmet to a different standard, it's unfair. I know he was a second-round pick. I know he's underperformed at this point. But like Adam said, it takes tight ends a few years. And this is a kid who, look, if it doesn't happen this year, my tune is changing. Right, but I think the arrows point way up on Cole Kmet here.
Well, just so people know, I mean, like, the two levels as we get through this with the grades that we've been going through, the next two levels up above fringe starter are starter, and then there's long-term starter. You want him playing into at least the long-term starter.
Yeah.
Because that's when you start talking about giving him an extension, and then above that are, like, the top-end blue-chip players. I'm not even expecting him to be in that category. You know, you just want Cole Kmet to end up in that long-term starter spot and be a very good tight end for you going forward, and I think that is still possible. All right, let you close the show with your guy today, your player profile.
Sounds great. So today's Chicago Bears player preview is we're sticking with the defensive line. I kind of teased it on Friday, but it's going to be Kyrese Tonga, last year's seventh-round rookie nose tackle for the Bears. And really, he surprised a lot of folks last year. You know, Eddie Goldman didn't show up to OTAs. It took him a while to get going in training camp, so Tonga kind of took some bulks of those starting snaps. And I thought for a seventh rounder, he played very well. He did lead the Chicago Bears defensive line with the best average depth of tackle. That's going to be one of my favorite stats this season. The more I get into it, that's pretty much where the tackle's happening at the play. He had an average depth of tackle last year of 2.3 yards. Again, that led the entire defensive line. And really my big question for Tonga this upcoming season is, kind of like what I mentioned with Angelo Blackson on Friday, like, can he adjust his game to be more what the Bears are looking for out of this defense? Because last year in the 3-4 at the nose, your job's to hold down that A-gap, absorb double teams, and he did fine at that. But now in his 4-3, he's going to play a little bit more in the B-gap, asked to be attacking down the field, get into the backfield, whether it be a pass rush or whether it be getting tackles for a loss. He needs to be able to penetrate the backfield and make more plays. And we didn't see that last year. He only had one quarterback pressure and one tackle for a loss in his entire rookie season. So that's kind of where I want to see, once we get to training camp and preseason, can Tonga kind of mold his game and change it to be more of what the Bears are looking for out of this 4-3? If not, it's going to be hard for him to find playing time, maybe make this final roster practice squad. He still has eligibility there as well, but I think it's up to him, and we'll see exactly how it goes. But a little bit more info is in my article on allchgo.com. I don't want to give everything away, but for a guy that was drafted 12 slots away from Mr. Irrelevant last year, I thought he did pretty well. But we'll see if he can kind of change his game and evolve with what the Bears are kind of going towards now here in 2022.
For the record, graded a little bit higher than Cole Kmet. Seventh-round rookie, he had a – he gave you what you wanted. I do wonder about the scheme change.
That's the big question.
If he's able to give you enough out of there. Remember, this is they signed Mike Pennell last week.
Yep.
And I think Angelo Blackson probably gets the first crack at kind of that one technique spot. But Tonga might still be able to adapt. I just wonder if he has enough quickness in there.
That's the question. And if
get upfield.
If he shows enough that's, like, still fringe, like I said, he does have practice squad eligibility, so he doesn't have to go – nowhere. He can still be in the fold, but like you said, with Pennell being the addition, there's a chance he may not make that final 53.
Remember, though, Pennell was with the Bears last year, too, and didn't make it. So
we'll see.
Yeah. We'll give just some added depth there.
Yep.
Jay, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Of course. Appreciate having me.
Thank you. It was fun. Check out the CHGO Blackhawks podcast on every day, right? Usually before us at 11.
Every day at 11.
Yep. So, a lot of good guests there, and hockey talk. They have a head coach.
Nope. They're getting to it.
Do they need one?
Eh. I mean, probably.
It took like, it felt like 4 years for them to find their GM.
Well, they just hired their interim. I think they probably knew they were doing that. But this week is when coaches are going to start to fill in.
Okay.
I predict they'll have a coach this week or early next.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Avs sweep?
No. They're not going to sweep. No. No. I think Avs in six. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to change my pick from Avs in seven to Avs in six. But they're really good.
My wife and I were able to, we had the grandparents over. Game two was Saturday night, right?
Yep.
Losing track of my weekend. Yeah. So grandparents, you know what, had the kids, everybody was asleep. We snuck away just for like a drink real quick. There was some random guy sitting at the end of the bar who got, I've never seen somebody get so excited about a goal that made it 7-0. I'm like, that guy over, must I have guess. Was the over-under 6.5?
That's what I was thinking.
I'm like, that over-under had to have been 6.5. Yeah. And that guy, it must have been part of an even bigger parlay or something. Guy was way too excited about it.
Yeah, when the over hilarious. 6.5, you don't expect 7-0 to be the like reason you.
Boy, I need that seventh time. Goal from Colorado.
He had a buddy with him, and all of a sudden he goes, "We did it!" I'm like, "What's the score?"
Buddy, it's been done for a while.
Okay, we're still watching this. I'm surprised the game was even on. But
hopefully, he used PointsBet.
I hope so too.
Yeah,
use that code CHGO. Hey, follow us on Twitter at CHGO Sports at CHGO _. Bears _ Blackhawks. Is it Hawks or Blackhawks?
Blackhawks.
Blackhawks, yep. The full thing. And then find Jay Zawoski on Twitter, too. You're just at Jay
Zawoski.
There it is.
Stayed up all night trying to dream that one up.
Good job. Good job by you on that. Appreciate it. Will DeWitt on Twitter, but the L's are ones. It's a trick.
Now that took me all night to come up with. Tricky.
Don't fall into the trap. The L's are ones. You got to look at it a couple times to really understand. I'm Adam Hogue. We'll see you tomorrow, 1 o'clock. We're back here.
Oh, is that it? Or are we going
to
do the
thing? I'd love to do that to you.
No? Okay.
You expect me to do 17 goodbyes, and then all I right. just say goodbye.
Okay, see you guys.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.